The next item on the agenda is a financial report, and welcome Vice President Knorr to the podium. Walt? Thank you all, Keys, for being here.
What you're seeing here is a standard response to my presentation. People leaving en masse. Susan's grandson told me he wanted to hear my presentation. That's the only reason he was really here, you know. Dr. Jones, this is going to be the highlight, you know, of the morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to start off by just taking you through what I would call the ticker tape, you know, of what's happened since the May board meeting that is of note financially to the university. The first thing is that on June 30th, the university did receive a lump sum appropriation for fiscal year 17 of $349.2 million. And then when I say it's lump sum, it was specifically said it was for the university operations, the Prairie Research Institute, and the hospital. There was no breakout. It was just a lump sum amount. This represents about 55% of our FY15 net appropriation. So in comparison to some of the prior years, it also, in part of the appropriation, also included $1.4 million for the Labor Employment Relations School. That was a separate breakout for them. We've been in conversation with the state controller about being paid this. It is going to be paid. It's very specific. It's being paid from the Educational Assistance Fund. Starting at July 1st, there's really no money in that fund, and basically has to accumulate over the next 6 months. Money comes into that educational assistance from a number of sources, everything from a fraction of the income tax to a piece of the gaming tax, lottery taxes, come into that fund and fills up. The controller's office assures us that there was a total appropriation of about $650 million for higher education, so we got over half of it. She is very, you know, her folks are very sure that they're able to accumulate the money, you know, by December in order to pay us. You know, so we should be paid this by the end of December. Also in this appropriation was money for the monetary assistance program, monetary assistance awards for the spring. It was a total of $151 million was appropriated, of which we believe $29 million, you know, belongs to the University of Illinois for its awards. Again, this is essentially a spending plan. I call it a bridge appropriation. Hopefully, you call it the initial appropriation for FY17. But I remind you, we continue to operate under the continuing resolution that we passed in May, basically for statutory purposes, that for budget purposes, that we are operating under that. Some good news is Moody's Ratings Agency, the Moody's Investor Service, affirmed our AA3 rating. And they also, this is basically when the state was downgraded in the middle of June to a Baa2, automatically they came in to review us, and we were able to keep our rating. This puts us at 5 full notches higher than the state's rating, credit rating. They cite the fact that we basically have been able to keep our liquidity, pay our bills, meet our payroll, that we basically have the reputation, and we continue to have great demand for this university with students, that we have a diversity of revenues, that we have, you know, proactive fiscal management. We basically are good fundraisers, you know, for this university. So they had all those positives about, you know, the university. They did, of course, say that you know, we continue to have the concerns, you know, for the state budget, the state pension situation, state health care situation, and that was a concern. And they also noted that we're going to have reduced, because of these appropriation reductions, we're going to have reduced operating results in 16 and potentially in 17. They did downgrade the hospital, which is a separate credit for the university, again citing basically the cash flow, the receivables, the growth of the receivables at the hospital. Standard & Poor's did downgrade us to an A plus. They had downgraded the state to a triple B plus, and they have a hard and fast rule. Basically, the first 20 minutes of our conversation with them, was that they have a hard and fast rule that the university cannot be more than three notches higher than the state's rating. So when they were downgraded, the state downgraded, we went down too. It was simultaneous. Even though they, if you read their report, it again says very positive things about the university. So back to 16, the $180 million stopgap appropriation from 16 was paid by June 22nd, so it was all paid. There was no receivable remaining from the $180 million FY16 stopgap appropriation. Capital appropriations were, reappropriated for most of our capital appropriations, though I cannot find the ACT building yet, in Chicago, nor can I find the UIS security building, in this appropriation. So I'm still looking for that, and we continue to have concerns about the cash flow to the hospital and our state grants, basically remain a concern. The other big thing that we had is the president asked Dr. Barish, the VCHA, and myself to take a look at the healthcare, the group of health insurance, and how it affects the university employees. We became aware at the beginning of the calendar year that CMS, the governor's office, was taking a hard look at the cost of healthcare and what the and not only meant looking at the coverage and the bands of coverage for employees, state employees, including university employees, but also looking at the costs and what the new costs and the premiums might be for that. We basically, and part of this request, we decided we would conduct some workshops at each of the campuses. I would say there was a robust response to our workshops. As much as we were trying to provide information and answer the questions as best we could, we did have those responses, and we had that response when we had the campus meetings. Right now, the whole thing is essentially locked up in labor negotiations between AFSCME and the state, it's before the State Labor Relations Board. And basically, we have to wait for the results of that to basically have this thing crystallize. And I'll talk a little bit more about what we're facing as far as these costs. The state's situation is their budget. Again, this was really not a budget. It was really a spending plan that they passed. Controller Munger puts out, you can look at her site, how much they owe in bills. At July 1st, 2016, it was $7.8 billion that they owed in paying bills, including a big hunk of that was paying the bills for health care. She has also said with this spending plan that they put out for 17 that it probably adds another $2.5 billion, to this backlog. So she expects to be close to $10 billion in backlog by the end of the calendar year. If you take a look at our appropriation and just kind of where we've been just from FY13, where we were close to $700 million was the total gross appropriation in FY17. And you can see the 16 with a stopgap at 180. That's down almost 73% down from the FY15 650 net appropriation, and with the $350 million 17 appropriation, where we stand in comparison to FY15 and down about 45% from the FY15. I have again labeled this initial with hope springs eternal that this will be an additional, there will be an additional appropriation for 17, and we will continue to chase after that as the year goes on. I put this up every once in a while. It's referred to in higher education as the X diagram by most of our Illinois publics, where tuition and state support crosses. We crossed over in FY9, we're looking at for FY17 for this upcoming academic year. Total tuition for the University of Illinois will be about $1.2 billion. About 70% of that will be undergraduate tuition and graduate tuition for the other 30%. And then you can, the red line speaks for itself with the drops that we've seen, in 16 and 17 where we stand right now. The appropriation, the receivable, I pretty much put the 13, 14, and 15 up here for just kind of for to reminisce. But I just, the 180, it was, again, for 16, that was the total of the stopgap all received. I've put the map, the last of the map, the $29 million I referred to, into 16 because we believe it belongs to the spring of 16. So we've put that up, is basically there. As far as what we're going to show, this is the $351 million. This is the 349 plus the 1.4 for the labor and employment relations. But that's, we're just showing that as basically the appropriation so far. Again, the initial appropriation, and we are in the course of billing it, as I said, you know, and for payment, and expect monthly payments coming from the controller's office. That's, they've assured us that they will be paying us in a monthly. So when I put the receivable up here, I think it's just, you know, that's what's, you know, essentially, you know, based on as we bill. The income fund, which is tuition, this is essentially just a quick report on basically the fact that for the year, the fiscal year we just, you know, closed, that except for the MAP, we basically were right on budget, or our expectation, I should say, if we didn't really have an absolute budget, but we were right on our expectations, and basically everything that was billed essentially has been collected except for the MAP. So we're right on target, you know, with tuition for the fiscal year 16. The hospital, I think those of you who are at the hospital committee meeting know this. Through May, we're about an operating shortfall of about $2.4 million, but I think Dr. Bogosh is confident, and Mike Zen and Dr. Barish are confident that they can get this into a positive for year end. Again, you know, it's very similar to where it was in May of last year, at the end of May of last year. Again, this is on a accrual basis. Again, we do have this cash situation. The receivables are, you know, have grown, are quite high, and diminishment the level of cash, you know, at the hospital. But I think it's in good hands with Dr. Ghosh and Dr. Barish and Mike Sen, the CFO there. Just two things I wanted to comment on. Basically, as we look at the payments on behalf and their issues right now, I talked about the health care. This is just to remind you how much the state of Illinois, picking up the 99% of the employer's contribution to healthcare coverage for university employees, how much it is. It's a half a billion, $550 million is being picked up by the state of Illinois, is obligated by the state of Illinois for its healthcare. Yes, everybody knows that basically the payments are, you know, horribly in arrears. I think the CMS has out on their site 16 months on for in-network, you know, delay in payment, and longer if you're out of network for payments. That's right from the CMS site. I think that when we look at this, when they see the look, you know, there's a drop three years ago in 14. This was the last time the state did make an attempt to adjust the premiums to the employees, that's why there's the drop. But basically, you can see the progression here in the cost that the state is obligated to pay for health insurance. And we look at what's been driving this is basically something I think everybody knows is kind of the hyperinflationary situation with health care costs. Take a look at this chart. The blue line is basically the growth over the last 15 years in the CPI. It's about a 30% growth in the Midwest in the CPI. The gray line is essentially the direct cost of health care. This is the direct provision of health care, doctors, all health care professionals providing the direct health care costs, the cost of that. And then when you add the drugs and the cost of the pharmacy over the counter stuff, that's the yellow line, and you can see that the yellow line, you know, the total cost of health care is probably three times, you know, the rise in the CPI, kind of a hyperinflationary situation that you know, everybody knows we're facing in the healthcare industry. And then when you look at the situation we have when we're looking at the state's you know, health insurance and why I think CMS and the state is looking at the cost. This is the cost of healthcare per participant. This is not this. So this would be you and your dependents, and this is all state employees, including all of the university's employees and their dependents. And what it's costing right now is about $8,200 per person, you know, participating in the state group health insurance program. And this is coming right from COGFA, right from the fiscal agency, the state fiscal agency, and their analysis. And you can just see the growth trend just in the last 8 years from $5,500 up to this $8,200 level, just in the cost of health care. And if you ratchet this up to basically per employee, it would be about $20,000 would be the cost per employee participating in the health care, the state health care program. The other one is the pension bugaboo. The pension situation, it's $111 billion is the unfunded liability for the three major state pension plans. In the green, where the state SERS, the State University Retirement System, is $22 billion of that. And if you ratchet that down to the University of Illinois, it's about $9.5 billion would be our unfunded liability associated with the university. We did be able to legitimately not book this liability in our financial statements last year because the state acknowledged that they basically have the obligation for this debt, and as well as it's by and it's statutory, it's a legal an obligation of the state, and they acknowledge it. We do expect to know that this basically will jump when they finish 16 and the audits of 16, that this will probably increase because of the returns, for the year. We already are aware that SERS, the state employees retirement system, is already adjusting their assumptions because of their mortality tables and their interest rate assumptions, and we've already heard about that. So that will probably affect these results. So breaking it down for what's basically for the University of Illinois on an annual basis of this is the annual cost that you would have, not the overall unfunded liability. This is the annual cost. So again, this is what the state is basically obligated to pay. Over $700 million in pension costs for the university, of which $550 million is basically amortizing that unfunded debt, to try to unfund it. That has been continuing to grow. But if you take a look at the blue, it's been reduced. That's the normal cost. That would be the cost that would basically be to keep things on par. And it's going down because the impact of the Tier 2, the new pension plan, is coming into effect, and that's basically affecting the normal cost, that's associated with the, but it's a very hefty price, the pension costs. And everybody, I think, is very aware of the pension situation. Lastly, I think I would like to just say what's coming up, just a good, like a preview of coming attractions at the September board meeting. One of the things we're going to have to do is basically have the approval of what we call the salary planner. It's basically titled the Academic Administrative Appointments. It's commonly referred to as the Gray Book. It is, and in that document basically has the salaries for faculty and academic professionals for the next academic year. And also has the notice of reappointment are also basically covered by that. And that's a document that really needs to be approved at the September 8th board meeting for purposes of a September 15th payroll. The second one we have is the Green Book. We're going to have to do a Green Book statutory required. This is basically our budget request. This is required to go to IBHE. We will bring it forth to you. This is essentially our request for what we want for the fiscal year 18 budget. That's the one that they're going to be going. And it's a statutory requirement. You give it to the IBHE, and that becomes the basis of their recommendation to the state legislature, for purposes of the budget. And again, that needs approval. I think, again, this year, and I've referred to the continuing appropriation, I don't think that we're looking at an orange book. I don't think we're looking at this budget summary of operation, which is our operating budget, a formal budget, again, this year with the lack of a substantial portion of the appropriation. And again, I think we're covered, certainly legally, with our continuing appropriation for that. So I think we're going to take a pass on the orange book again. So that's all I had, except I do want to, one point of personal privilege before I step off, if you'll indulge me, and I wanted to recognize, the retirement of Dr. Randy Kangas. Randy's here today, and he resigned, and retired from the university on June 30th. I was, he I knew about it at the May board meeting, but I didn't say anything because I was still trying to talk them out of it. And I'll probably list it as one of my great failures, some of my many, not being able to talk them out of it. But, he has both his master's and his doctorate from the University of Illinois, and he's incredibly loyal, always has been incredible, and continues to be incredibly loyal to this university. He's spent his entire and distinguished career in the university's Office of Planning and Budgeting, and for almost 30 years, I guess, been an invaluable resource to the executive leadership of the university, the Board of Trustees, and with all of the key people on the campuses. He's the go-to guy. He has got tremendous relationships with state government officials and staff, and he was kind of the go-to guy. I called him the first responder for any information that the state wanted. He was the first responder. He basically, and I tell you, sometimes you get requests for information from the state that basically I need the names of everybody whose last names begin with an M, and I need it in 2 hours. Those kind of requests, and Randy would respond, and he was an invaluable resource there. He was really the go-to person in all things budget, and he was the institutional memory and understanding of the data for this university and the requirements, the many statutory and mandatory requirements, reporting requirements that this university has on a state and federal level. He fascinated me with the fact that his knowledge of this university and its budget and its finances were almost encyclopedic. He may have been bluffing me, but he's, sometimes I could tell, I will miss him. I will miss his many contributions. I will miss his sense of humor. I mean, maybe I'm maybe in the same vein as Randy's sense of humor, and I think I can say with absolute confidence that his contributions, he contributed significantly to this university, and we contributed to its growth and excellence at this university. So, and I just want to tip my hat to Randy. He's here, and he unless he left with Susan Keyes, but I just wanted to make sure you knew.
Yeah, let me just echo my comments and best wishes. Randy worked with you on the ABFF and the countless times that you helped us understand the information that we need, so thank you. Walt, before you leave, though, I want to make sure that there aren't any questions from the trustees on what you've presented. It's the bars and the changes in them. It's a challenge ahead of us. Go ahead, Walt. I'm sorry.
No, I just
comments or questions from the board. Mr. President, would you like to make any comments about all this?
Well, just a comment that, of course, our advocacy efforts have been picked up all year, and we're very grateful for the role of the individual trustees and collectively in terms of advocating for the university, for all of public higher education. We very much welcome the second stopgap funding. It gives us a breather over the summer months, but it's not going to slow us down on advocacy. I think it's we see it as a major step, but certainly not the end of the game. And so our team, led by Lindsay Anderson on the Office of Government Relations, is working very hard on all of those things. There have been events and calls and coalitions built, and a great effort on the part of the collective university presidents to make the case. And I really want to call out the role and impact of our bipartisan U of I caucus legislators won't name them all, but they've really come through for us in the last few months under difficult, adverse, complex situations. But we're going to be redoubling our efforts, and it's critically important that the full funding restoration for public higher education occurs on a timely basis. And so we're working hard on all of that, so that Walt's next diagrams will be much more palatable.
Very good. I'd just like to echo your comment about all of the participation we received from board members, talking to legislators, the Illinois connection. Probably we realize the significant value of that connection, particularly this year. But also, Walt, to you and to your group, working through this year, working through the deficits that you had to manage through, and I know it's not just you, the chancellors and the provosts and all of your staff of working through the process. We're hopeful that in January that we'll have more answers to the rest of fiscal 16-17. But in the meantime, we've got to continue to manage through that process. And I appreciate the efforts of everyone involved in helping us get to where we are today and hopefully prepare us for where we're going in the future. Any more questions for Walt? All right, very good.